David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Advisor with Stacey Chalemi. Today, I'm here with Mara Javapane, and she is a psychotherapist, and she's amazing. And she today wants to talk about trauma, what it is, how it affects the brain, different types of conditions and illnesses that can be brought on by trauma, and how the brain could actually heal itself. These things are truly amazing conversations that I think we need to understand, know about, and how psychotherapy plays a huge role in the healing process of the brain and what it's capable of doing. So, Maria, I'm so glad you came on the show today. Can you introduce yourself? Tell everybody a little about yourself and what you do.
Sure. Yeah. Hi, everyone. I'm a somatic psychotherapist. I'm currently based in Minneapolis, Minnesota, in the United States. I, at this point in time, have my own private practice. So I see people for really deep healing work related to trauma and addiction. I'm a clinical social worker and also a licensed alcohol and drug counselor, working with a wide range of conditions, but specifically really focused on PTSD and complex PTSD, racial trauma, generational and ancestral work. I do intensives with people, so I don't do the hourly, weekly kind of therapy that most people might think of when they think about going to see a therapist. I have people coming from all over the country to work with me for 5-6 hours a day, upwards of a week, sometimes a little bit more. So we do about 30 hours of therapy in 1 week and really get to the roots of what people are navigating and helping them heal instead of spreading it over a long period of time. So it seems to fit a niche for people that are wanting to just be done with carrying around the heavy backpack full of rocks. Yeah. I'm also an international brain spotting trainer, so we'll talk a little bit about brain spotting today, but I teach clinicians all over the world on how to utilize this somatic psychotherapy method that really rapidly helps heal from trauma, heal from stress conditions, and really helping to get back into the connection with the body and the brain, and turning on the connection with the nervous system so that people can heal. So I also practice using psychedelic assisted therapy. I'm a certified breathwork practitioner. I'm also a shamanic practitioner. So I blend a lot of different tools. And I was telling Stacy before we got started that I don't swim in the kiddie end of the pool. So most people who come and work with me are ready to go there and take a deep dive. So it's a little bit about me.
I love it. Now, what exactly is trauma? Because that's a, you know, that's a word that has a broad range, and everybody has their own definition of what they think trauma is. You know, from a psychotherapist point of view, what is trauma?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so trauma is something that overwhelms the nervous system, and it can be a result of not enough of something, too much, so too soon, too fast, right? Like things that the body and the mind aren't not able to manage. And so this experience of overwhelm happens, and the system sort of loses connection to the resources it has to navigate a stressful experience. The other huge piece to trauma is isolation. It has an essence of isolation within it. So when we experience something traumatic, we often feel alone in it or disconnected from other people. And then how people respond to the trauma can almost be like an insult to injury, because many of us don't know what to do when someone has experienced something really challenging or difficult. And it doesn't even have to be something, you know, what we might see, like you might think of a car accident or illness or a natural disaster, something is traumatic, which they are, but there's much more of what we call developmental trauma, you know, inside, living inside of us. And that has to do with how we were raised, how we were emotionally tended to or not. And if we experienced a sense of secure connection to our caregivers, who could then reflect that and help our nervous system build that sense of inner security. So many of us are dealing with attachment wounds, right? Yeah. And that is significant in our world and our culture, that we've forgotten how to take care of our themselves and, you know, relate to one another. And traumatic experiences that happen cause us to shut down. So then we have a harder time taking care of our kids and relating and having open connections, because we feel if we close down, it'll be safer that way. But ultimately, what, you know, kept us alive at one point, the ways that we managed a situation, keeps us from living eventually. So
when a person goes through different types of, because it could be caused by stress itself, it can, you know, like you said, it doesn't have to have become, you know, it doesn't have to be a traumatic event like a car accident or hitting your head abruptly. It could be from many things, anything that's traumatic in your life that's kind of set you off, you know, and you don't know how to deal with, could actually be, you know, a sense of the definition trauma.
Right.
Correct.
It's a stressful experience that you, without outside resources, can't bring yourself down back into what we would call homeostasis if we're looking at it from a scientific point of view.
Now, how does a psychotherapist help somebody that is dealing with a traumatic trauma in their life that they are unable to deal with on themselves? How
mm-hmm.
could a psychotherapist help them?
Mm-hmm. So I think it depends, first of all, on the type of psychotherapy. Like I mentioned, I'm a somatic psychotherapist. So everything I do orients people back to their bodies. And it's important to remember that our emotions are of the body. They're not of the mind.
Right.
We've had this really interesting sort of Western purview that our thoughts, our emotions, everything is in the head, right? And so talk therapy has been the Western way of helping someone with a mental illness or condition or trauma for much of the history of psychotherapy in the United States, in the Western world. But over the last 20 to 40 years, we are getting more information through neuroscience and returning to the roots of the body to recognize that trauma is held in the body. It's not held in your mind. Your mind is reflecting something that your body is holding. So in the way that somatic psychotherapists do this work is that if you were to come into my office, Stacy, and say, you know, I'm having a really difficult time with a relationship, right? And every time I get into a conversation with this person, I feel really sad and really irritated and angry. I would say, okay, where do you notice that? Where do you notice that inside of you, this anger, this anxiety, this irritation? And maybe you would tell me, I feel it in my chest, or I feel like I'm clenching my jaw, or my hands are turning into fists. And so what I would do is have you really notice the sensations of that and become attuned to you holding a really secure, grounded, loving, compassionate space that is the opposite of trauma, right?
Yeah.
It's a sense of safety and attunement and connection. So we would then guide you to notice those sensations. And as you start to notice your inner experience, the experience begins to change, because the body starts to metabolize the emotions when it senses, oh, it's safe now, it's okay, or I have someone here that's listening to me. So then we can move and metabolize those survival energies that are there. That's what the tight jaw and the tension in the chest, it's like preparing for a fight, flight, freeze, fawn, or collapse response. Those are all ways that the nervous system reacts to stress or trauma. And as we move those things out of your nervous system, then you're going to have so much more room to do the problem solving and the thinking about how to tend to this relationship. So you're space will sort of be freed up. It's like clearing out the hard drive a little bit so that you can add some new techniques and skills to resolve the issue. But when we're emotionally charged or activated, it's really hard to think straight, right? Yeah. And mm-hmm. it's designed to be that way because our thinking brain comes second. Our survival brain, which is in the deeper parts of our brain, turns online way faster. So you can jump away from a moving car, or jump away from a threat. But we've forgotten that, many of us have forgotten that, you know, when we're dealing with our modern day problems, our reptilian brain is still responding as if your boss in the CEO's suite is a tiger, right? Your body's still responding as if that's the threat when it's not necessarily maybe a physical threat, but it's an emotional threat.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
The brain can't really tell the difference between an emotional and a physical threat. It's just a threat. And it will mobilize those survival energies in order to keep you safe. So I also use brain spotting. So brain spotting and other somatic techniques, but primarily brain spotting. And it's a modality that uses eye positions to get access to the physical or visceral sensations. So again, using you as an example, if you were telling me you were having, you know, whatever issue it was, I would say, okay, I want you to just notice the sensations. And then I would use a pointer like this, where it's like an extendable pointer you would use for teaching or pointing at a whiteboard or something. And we're going to go across your line of sight and we're going to look for an eye position where, Stacy, you would say, oh my gosh, right there, I feel even more tension in my jaw, or I feel even more tension in my chest or my hands. And then I would invite you to keep your eyes at that spot. Mm-hmm. And what it does is it helps you focus and anchor into that subcortical region of the brain that's holding the trauma. We're accessing the neural networks of where that experience, information, or memory lives. Our eyes are literally an extension of our brain. So the brain uses our eyes to scan for information when we're looking at things out in the world. But if you've ever daydreamed, right, and you were staring off into space as you were thinking deeply about something, that was a brain spot. Your brain was holding on that spot as you were pulling up that information so you could focus on it. So brain spotting harnesses that power of the eyes and helps on a very deep level to reorganize and rewire traumatic experiences.
I like that. Now, these exercises that you teach your patients, can people do certain things at home that could help them also? Now, of course, they need the guidance of a psychotherapist in order to learn how to do these things and learn, understand why these things are happening to them. But if a person finds themselves at home and they find themselves either in a panicky mode or a very stressful mode, and they don't know how to handle it at that moment, so nothing negative happens to them, is there some simple exercises that they can, you know, do that will help them get them back to that normality and that level of calmness where they can think clearly?
Yeah, there's a few things I could share on air right now that might be useful. And I also want to say, like, it's not medical advice, so do it at your own risk. But if you have really difficult traumatic experiences that you're holding, I would recommend doing this work with a clinician or someone that you trust. But there's little tools really about nervous system regulation and how we can learn to regulate ourselves. So I'll give you an example. I just left an appointment about an hour ago that was really troublesome for me. And right at the end of the appointment, there was an exchange that happened that really got me, caught me off guard. And I felt myself getting kind of sick to my stomach. And I'm like, oh, that's not what I was expecting. And so I had a 45-minute drive before I got here to log in to be with you. And I was holding one hand on my belly and one hand on my chest and just breathing and feeling the pressure, gentle pressure of my hand on my belly and my hand on my chest and saying kind things to myself to help kind of the inner child that got hurt in that exchange. And
Yeah.
saying, I love you, I'm right here. Even though you're feeling scared right now, it's okay, I'm right here. So that physical contact on the belly and the chest can feel like comfort and protection. And then noticing your breathing as you're doing that. Some eye movement things that people could do is taking their finger or a pen and putting it maybe 8 to 10 inches in front of their face at eye level. You want to try this with me?
Sure.
Okay.
Was this my
So,
finger out of my face?
yep. So go ahead and look at the tip of your finger. So you'll notice the muscles of your eyes are angled inward. So you can notice what's right in front of you, your finger. Okay. Now I want you to look through your finger to whatever is behind it.
Okay.
So your finger now should look kind of blurry, and whatever's behind it should be clear. Now bring your eyesight back to your finger. And then switch again. And then switch again. And then switch again. Notice what's happening inside for you. Did you have an involuntary breath come at any point?
Yes, each time that I turned and I looked to the area where there was clearness,
Yeah.
I felt a different type of my body was breathing differently, more, and I felt a sense of calmness each time I did that. So it
Yeah.
brought me down to wherever I was at that moment to a level of calmness where I was more calmer than I began when I was speaking to you.
So that's called the oculocardiac reflex. And when the muscles of the eyes move near and far, the muscles are turning like this. When you look at something near, they're pointed inward. When they look at something far, they move outward. And it stimulates the vagus nerve. So it'll actually lower your heart rate and lower your respiration. So you notice that deep breath that came. It's involuntary. People can also look up polyvagal exercises. Those are wonderful for regulating your nervous system. It's kind of like biohacking. You can come off like a panic attack. The near far thing that we just did is a really great way to come back down from a panic attack because we're going to bring you into a more parasympathetic nervous system state. Another one is taking the finger pads of your fingers and those same ocular muscles around your eyes, just really gently pressing on them. Not hard, just really light pressure. And you'll notice that within a few seconds, you're going to have that same involuntary breath come on. There it is, right there.
Yes.
Yeah. So there's all sorts of skills like that and just learning how to be mindful and tracking our inner sensations. So when we go to the physical level, we can get a lot more information about what's happening for us and inside of us. And then we can make more choices because we have more information versus like, you get activated or triggered by something in your life and then we react, right? And then that often causes more problems because of the reactivity. So slowing things down and becoming aware of all of the other senses that are part of how our memories are formed or how we respond to our environment can give us a lot more choices to work with.
I like that a lot. Now, I noticed, well, there's a lot of myths out there where people think that once there a traumatic event happens in their life, and once there is some type of where the brain is really affected by any traumatic event, that it is very hard to get back to that healing stage. Some people, like even when they've gotten a hit on the head, that they might get post-traumatic stress disorder, or the stress might bring it on, or things could happen. And they don't realize that the brain has the capability to heal itself with the proper guidance and the proper training, that your brain can heal itself. Now, can you go into more detail about that? Because a lot of people don't realize that the brain does have the capability of healing itself. Many people think, once something happens, that's it. And a lot of people will just go straight to medication and they don't even think about, psychotherapy. They don't think about any type of therapy or training. They just go right to the medication and they think, okay. And then all these symptoms start to happen because of the medication. And not only are they battling with, their problem is being masked because those medications are taking away the symptoms so you don't feel it, but the problem psychologically is still there. It's just blocking those emotions so you don't feel it. So the problem doesn't fix itself. It's just masking the emotions and masking those feelings that are still there in your brain so you don't feel it, so you don't react to it. But you're not healing it. You're just masking those symptoms by taking medication. Maybe you can go more in depth about that and explain why it's so important to add to have a psychotherapy and to have training to, and how it is possible to, have the brain for the brain to heal itself.
I think that as a humanity and as a culture, we have forgotten the capacity of our bodies and what our bodies do for us and what our brain and body can do. That innate healing capacity lives within every living creature that is on this planet. It's hardwired into us to adapt. The survival instinct is powerful, and all living beings have it. So, I think we're in a time of great remembrance. I would say that people are starting to remember that their bodies, their minds, their spirits have what it needs to recognize that we were already whole and that we actually forgot, because of the wounds and pain. Or not receiving care when we needed it. There's a place for medications. Yes, I also believe that they're heavily overused and they come with a lot of side effects. I think that this healing capacity, I'll give you an example. If you get a cut on your leg, you don't even have to think about it, right? It's autonomic, it's deeply hardwired in that. You're going to grow a scab if the rest of you is doing pretty okay and you're healthy. You're going to grow a scab and it's going to heal. You don't even have to think about it. This creature self that we are in a physical form has profound capacities for survival and th for thriving too, not just survival. So on a brain level, I would say one of the limitations of psychotherapy and medications, et cetera, is that we're covering up the issue. And sometimes we need it. So I'm not saying don't take your meds, but like there's also something to be said about having the support of someone, especially people like for me, I've survived addiction. I've survived a lot of trauma. I've been doing work on myself for almost 20 years now, actively. And if it wasn't for the therapists and healers in my life that could reflect back to me the love and the compassion and care and believing in me that I could heal, I wouldn't be here today doing that for other people. So it takes sometimes the power of connection, which also we can't underestimate. We're living really separate from one another now, right? There's a lot of paranoia, there's a lot of fear, there's a lot of stuff going on in the world. It's pretty heavy these days, and we've lost that power of being able to trust our human companions in the world because we don't feel safe. So when you create a container for someone that is relatively safe because I don't think there's something as absolute safety. I don't believe that that necessarily exists on planet Earth, but relatively safe. And you become a mirror for someone, a mirror that reflects the truth and the depth of who that person is, which is love, which is the connection. Then the body recognizes and can, and the mind and maybe the spirit can recognize, hey, I can heal, right? It's in the disconnection when we don't have access to ourselves that we just keep looping in the same stories and the same pain. On a physiological level, the brain is capable of neuroplasticity, and there's, I mean, thousands of research studies on this topic. And there's a wonderful book called The Brain That Changes Itself. And for some reason, I'm not remembering the author right now, but The Brain That Changes Itself. It's a host of stories of people who've recovered from brain injuries, Parkinson's, et cetera, et cetera. So the first thing that is required is the belief that you can heal. And having someone else then also believe in you too. Sure, maybe there's certain kinds of brain injuries or other things that I used to work in a brain injury clinic for addiction and TBI for a long time. And I saw people heal. There were certain aspects where their brain had changed and they would need to adapt around that. But we never gave up on what their system could be capable of doing. So neuroplasticity is real. And when we lower stress hormones, we lower the cortisol, we lower and remove people out of stressful conditions, the body naturally starts to repair itself.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion, capital at risk.
Furthermore, if you add nutrition, if you add exercises, that, you know, all those things, you are setting yourself up for success. And so that's what I try to do with people, is looking at it from a lot of different angles and figuring out in collaboration with a lot of other providers that they might be working with, what does this person need in order to be whole again?
I like that. I like that a lot. I think it's so necessary. I think people don't realize that the brain can heal itself. I think people, there's so many people that just go right to the medications and they just don't realize that it's just blocking those emotions. It's just not, like I just mentioned, 5 minutes earlier, it's not healing the trauma that's causing those, all these problems, and with post-traumatic stress disorder, can people actually overcome that? Or once you're diagnosed with that, is that like, you're diagnosed with it and that's it? Or is it something that can, like other conditions, can you actually overcome it and, through the proper, training?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I have seen people transform. And depending on, that person's history and their story and how much trauma there is, it might take some time, but you can, and it doesn't mean sometimes you won't like dip your toe back in it, because those grooves that are in the nervous system and inside of the brain, the roads we've traveled the most with our thoughts and our emotions, the stories that we've been told or tell ourselves, it takes a while for those shadows to like fully disappear. But yes, I believe that that's possible. I've witnessed it. I've been privileged to be in a position where I can do that work with people. And I mean, I was not a functional human for a long time. I couldn't even tie my shoes. I was smoking crack and shooting up dope for 8 years. So, my brain has been put back together with therapies like brain spotting and breath work and psychedelics and other things. And for the most part, I'm a pretty functional human. There's still times that I'll have an episode where it feels like, oh crap, we're back in it again, but they don't last as long. And there's more of me that's grown around it that can navigate, just like I was telling you on the way home from that appointment, that I was like, oh, I'm really, really feeling the vibrations. I'm really activated and triggered by this. And then I tended to myself and I feel okay. Right. So healing is possible. And I really want the message to be clear for anyone who's watching or listening is that you're wired for healing and you have everything you need inside of you. You don't have the bridge to get there. It's not that you don't have it, it's that the bridge isn't there. And we're going to help you build the bridge.
And is there a specific type of training that you take your clients through, or it really depends on the person and what they're going through? They get a personalized, you really look at it from a personal perspective, and you train them according to what exactly is going on. So everybody has their own personalized program, because sometimes you go into places and they have those standard programs, but everybody is different. So I would assume everybody gets their own personalized training according to what is going on in their current lives. Is that true?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. There's not one person. Each human being is a unique constellation. It just doesn't make sense to me because I'm like, okay, wait, we all have different DNA. We all are unique. We all have different personalities and stories. So why in the world would I have you just go, like a cow through a chute, the same thing? It requires deep listening, really deep witnessing to see someone in front of you and work with them to figure out what they need. So yes, there's therapy, really individualized for people. I primarily also train therapists to do this type of work with others, and teach trainings in that regard. So sometimes we're doing brain spotting, sometimes we're doing a mix of things. Sometimes we need to get support like with ketamine-assisted psychotherapy or working with medicines like cannabis. And when the other ones start to become legalized, we'll probably be adding them as well. Other times it's a lot of times it's silent work and you're not talking because the brain is reprocessing. Some people need more talking because that's what helps them feel safe. So the main thing is it's not about me, right? And a lot of us in therapy school were trained to be the expert. I'm not the expert in anyone's life. They are. So there's a unlearning that when I teach people, we have to go back to being humble and we have to go back to being in uncertainty because you don't know everything that lives inside of someone. And what we want to do is help their nervous system take us where it needs to go at the pace that it's ready to go at versus what I think it wants to do. So it has to be unique for people to feel truly seen, right? And see them in the totality of who they are.
So basically, really, what a psychotherapist does is they're really helping you learn how to release those negative emotions that are triggering you to cause you the trauma. That you already have, but it's not being released. It's in you. It's affecting you. It's making you progress, and it's making you stagnant where you can't live a healthy and functional life. So your tools and your strategies, according to each individual, is being utilized, and you're teaching them different tools, different strategies, different coping mechanisms that they could apply to their daily lives, where over time it probably becomes just natural that they don't even realize they're doing it, and it's just a part of their daily life. But it's helping them to release all that negativity, to release all that trauma, to release all those negative thoughts, so they can actually focus on the present and not let that trauma from the past really affect them now or in the future.
Absolutely. Yeah. Trauma has a way of when the body experiences something traumatic, it stores it. as a traumatic memory. And so it does that to protect us from future traumatic events that might be exactly like it. So if you were a little kid and you touched a hot stove, it's going to get that memory in there. Anytime you go near a hot stove with your hand, it's going to come up like, ooh, don't touch that.
Yeah.
Now that can be useful, and the brain is going to use the sensory perception that it has with our eyes, ears, you know, touch, smell, all of that.
Yeah.
Maybe you're, you know, maybe you had a really terrible relationship with someone and there was negativity and abuse, and now you're in a different relationship, but this person's awesome. Yet
right.
If anything looks, smells, feels, you know, or sounds like something that
yeah.
happened in the past, you know, the thing that kept you alive then is going to keep you from living now. And you might have really strong reactions that almost your brain is thinking the thing that happened in the past is happening right now. So what
Right.
we do in brain spotting therapy is we help desensitize and discharge that old stored energy. And we go right to the place in the brain that that happens. So talk therapy has a harder time getting access to those things. I actually want to speak to this. This is my
Yeah, please.
One of my biggest shares, important shares, like deviating from the way that we've been doing psychotherapy work, is that thinking and talking are frontal lobe activities. So it's the
Yeah.
newest part of our brain, the neocortex, that knows how to think critically and how to make judgment decisions and math and language. Our frontal lobe has very little to do with emotional regulation. Our emotional regulation centers are in the midbrain, and then the brainstem also plays a role in that. And there's no language there.
Yeah.
So what we're doing as talk therapists is we're trying to literally jam all this wonderful stuff that we're saying and try to get it from the frontal part of the brain into this midbrain to change
Yeah.
the way that we feel. It doesn't work very fast, if at all. The healing rates, you know, even looking at studies of like CBT, really low and not long lasting. So
Yeah.
talk therapy is considered a top-down approach where we're trying to get from the frontal lobe and down into the brain and the body.
Yeah.
Bottom up approach is when we go to the felt sense first.
Mm-hmm.
We bypass this thing that's full of defenses, full of where we, you know, tell
Yeah.
ourselves all sorts of things that maybe aren't exactly accurate. And we're bypassing it and just getting to the core of where it's held. So it works much faster and it changes it on a physiological level. Wouldn't it be awesome to leave a therapy session, not just with like tools and some ideas, but to actually feel different when you,
Oh,
the state of being that you walked in with is no longer there. You don't have that heaviness in your shoulders or that feeling of being numb or out of touch or that panic, anxiety. You know, people are suffering and it's emotions are physical. They're not thoughts. So
right.
I just wanted to share that the approach of a somatic clinician is very different, and the neuroscience is backing all of this up. So I would not be surprised that 20, 30 years from now, this is going to be normal. This is
Yeah.
when you think of a therapist, it's going to be, I'm going to go to do processing work, rewiring work, and instead of just going and talking to someone. And there's a
Right.
place for talking. I don't want to poo-poo on that. There is, but I think it falls short. In my own experience as an addict, I went to rehab 8 times. I was institutionalized for 2.5 years. I had therapists from age 13 up until 20 in
Yeah.
all of those treatments that I had. I could teach treatment. I still
Right.
didn't stay sober. And no one ever asked me about my trauma. I didn't even know I had trauma.
That's crazy.
8 years. I almost died many times. All my friends are dead. Right. So this is serious. And
Yeah.
I want the community to hear it, that the problems that we're dealing with and facing now as a people and in the environment and politics and all the disaster that just happened with Hurricane Helene, like there's help. There's
Yeah.
real help, and you can heal. You can heal.
Oh, I agree 100% with you. And I feel like you, when you do speak to a therapist and you verbally get it out, it's a temporary fix, but I feel like the emotions are still regressed in your body. Like you could feel it. And then you just need to say something, or something needs to remind you of something. And then all those emotions just come and they flourish, and you start feeling the pain or the sadness or whatever emotions that are making you feel that a certain way from that specific event that occurred. I feel talking to a therapist is great. I 100%, back it. But I feel like it's more of a temporary fix. They're giving you tools, and they're talking to you, and they're making you see things from a different perspective. But I feel like those emotions are still in you. All you need is one little thing, a word, a phrase, a certain thing that happens that just reminds you of another event. And then, many times emotions will just flourish, and I'll start feeling those emotions. And, I think by having a psychotherapist and by really learning how to tap into those emotions and then learn how to release those emotions is so important, because, having a therapist where you could verbally, talk about it is wonderful, but being able to tap into those emotions that have been pulling you down and then learn how to release them, I think is such a satisfying and such a traumatic way to overcome and to move forward in life. Because you could temporary feel good, and you can remind yourself of what the therapist says, and you could apply certain things. But if you don't get rid of those negative emotions, they'll be repressed, and all you do is you need a trigger point. And that's why sometimes you see people with post-traumatic stress disorder, they're fine, and then all of a sudden something you say, it doesn't have to be anything, it could be two or three words, and it just reminds them of something else, and they go off, and they don't mean to, but it just something from their past just triggered them from the present moment. And it could be just two words or three words, or and that goes for anything. You don't have to have post-traumatic stress disorder. You can just something, the traumatic happened, and in the present moment of your life, you just have something that just, triggers something. And then all those thoughts and all those things just start coming through your head, and then the emotions start just flourishing. And for some people, it might be crying. Some people, it might be just inner sadness, and it will bring trauma, all back into the picture. So I think that psychotherapy is definitely something that people should be aware of. I don't think everybody knows what a psychotherapist does. I don't think it's heard enough. You hear the word therapist all the time, but when do it's kind of like the word epilepsy. You don't hear it very much. Psychotherapist, you hear it here and there, but how many people really know about it? And they need to know more about it, because it's such an important, job for a psychotherapist to be able to teach someone how to release those emotions. I think is so important, because that's really, if you can release those emotions and you can learn if they come back, you can learn how to get rid of them. It's a game changer in your whole life. It's a total game changer, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, psychotherapists, we're not first responders a lot of the time. We're secondary responders to things that are happening, in our communities and in people's lives. And I think it is an under aware role. And also access is difficult in a lot of places and for a lot of people. I wish that a lot of the things that we do with our clients were taught in schools and taught from a really young age. I think we would be living in a very different world if that were the case, because sometimes that what I'm doing in my office feels like I'm just teaching people how to be human and like honor their humanness and learn to be okay with that. But yeah, it's a sacred space that we hold, and there's lots of ways for healing. There's not just psychotherapy. I've experienced in my own life beautiful, incredible healers from different paths and different walks of life that can do things that I don't do, and fill a really necessary space in the world. With all the things that are going on, more of us are needed, I think.
Oh, 100%. Now, if you had to take today's conversation and you really wanted to emphasize on some important factors, what are some things you really like to share with the listeners today that you feel that are very important, that you feel that they should be emphasized?
Number one, want to reiterate that your body knows how to heal, and that if you've been looking for healing and you haven't received it yet, that's not your fault. It's more so that the structure and the system and the way that we do things in the field haven't necessarily caught up to what is really necessary sometimes in healing trauma, which is brain and body focus, and adding the element of, deeper perhaps spirituality too for those that are wanting that. So much of our system has been like medicalized and it's sort of sterile, right? So it's lost its like warmth or human connection. It's there, but it's harder to find. So it's not your fault if you've been trying and it hasn't worked. You probably need a different kind of therapy, right? And so some ideas I have is to, when you're looking for a therapist, ask someone about whether they work on themselves. So, like, I'm not going to work with a therapist who doesn't do their own work. It's directly correlated to how effective they will be, because it'll affect how they can relate to you. If they haven't healed their own emotional wounds or relational wounds, that's going to show up in connection with someone else. And then
100%.
also look for a type of therapy that goes beyond talk therapy and helps you get into the felt sense. The felt sense is old. That sensory perception system came way before language. It's millennia old. So we want to get to where the roots are of these traumatic experiences and heal them that way. And educate yourself. If you get told something about, oh, you have this condition and you're not going to get better, I would want to call BS on that. I don't know if I can curse on this, so I'm being
Good.
okay. Well, I'm calling bullshit on that. The body and the system is designed for healing, so it's designed for adaptation. We think of adapting as like, oh, like when you go for a run, right? Your heart rate's going to increase. Your respiration's going to increase, and then when you stop running, it's going to go back down. We always think of homeostasis as this thing that's like physical, but we have emotional homeostasis: calm, grounded, loving, content, open, curious, joyful. Those are our natural baseline states of being. And so if a client calls me and they're like, I want to do therapy with you, I'm struggling with this or that, their nervous system is already saying, hey, I need help. I need healing. I've been trying to do it on my own, but I need attunement. I need connection. I need a sense of safety in order to heal. So it's that healing capacity is already online. It's looking. And so recognizing that inner wisdom. The other thing, last thing, is that we are our own medicine. We are the medicine we're looking for. And when we create access to those parts of ourselves that we've disconnected from or had to disconnect from, we find ourselves, we find the joy, we find all of the goodness after we can grieve and dust off, the pain. And that's where we find our gifts. We can't selectively numb, right? You can't choose when you go through something and you numb out. A lot of times you can't choose that you're numbing out, but you also can't choose what you numb out. So you numb out all the good stuff too. And so when you do this work, it pays off in spades.
100%.
So.
I like that a lot. Now, like I know you said something that you have a newsletter, and in that newsletter you go over some really important things that if they sign up for the newsletter, they learn a lot about a lot of different things. Can you tell everybody about your newsletter?
Sure. Yeah, we have a series, and I'm still adding to it, but we have a series of emails that go out if you sign up for the newsletter that talks about trauma and gives you kind of tidbits of things every a few days or weeks so that you can stay informed and learn more. So if you want to visit my website, it's www.awakenconsultingservices.com. So AwakenConsulting services.com. I teach trainings as well for clinicians or people that are doing healing work on how to do brain spotting and work with trauma. And then there's some things you can find if you sign up for the newsletter. There's a free video too that you get about trauma and brain spotting. And we have retreats and events and all sorts of things that we're working on the team here for creating spaces of healing people in our community. We've launched our breathwork series as well. So once a month, we have an online breathwork workshop. You can find it on that website. If you click on the Awakened Roots, that's our holistic side of things. We're offering energy medicine and more spiritual stuff and breathwork. So yeah, check us out if you want to do some healing work. Breathwork is also a really powerful way to rapidly change from being in a stressed out state or working with, you know, healing from trauma. So yeah.
I love that. And so people, if they want your services, they could also probably get it on Zoom also, that they don't have to be in local in your area. They can schedule an appointment through Zoom, correct?
That's correct. Yeah. I'm full right now. I have a really long wait list that I'm working through, but my husband is also a brain spotting clinician and a breath worker. And so he's seeing a lot of folks now too. So if you're interested, you need some help or healing, this resonated with you, reach out to us.
I love it. I love it. This has been amazing. I thank you so much for coming on the show. You know, I think it's so important that you get this across to people, you know, the message that you shared today, and people understand the power of psychotherapy and the power of breath work and the power of, you know, really tapping into your emotions and then letting go of those emotions. And that, you know, it's really important, you know, not just to talk about it, but to learn how to let go of those emotions. Because like you mentioned, you know, talking is more of the frontal cortex of the brain, where, you know, you go the midbrain and the stem of the brain is really where the emotions lie. And that's where we really have to tap into and learn how to release, you know, so we can actually have a healthy, happy and functional, you know, life, you know, and that's what everybody wants. We want to be healthy, we want to be happy, and we want to be productive. So I thank you so much for coming on the show, sharing all this information. And I really do appreciate you. Thank you, Maria, for coming on the show. I love this time together. You are an amazing woman and you have come a long way. So I give you kudos. And, you know, you've gone through a lot, you know, and you focused on really using everything that happened to you into making it a positive. And now you're helping so many others. So, you know, I give you kudos and thank you so much for being you. You know, I really do.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate you allowing me to express myself and share my message.
Oh, you're very welcome. Well, you have a great day.
You too. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.